In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The whole readings for the month of October are revolving around the concept of enlightenment, because this is a month we celebrate the feast of the Epiphany on the 10th, on the 11th of October of every year. So today, the passage about the man born blind is another example of a person who was enlightened through the water. The Lord Christ made for him an eye was from clay, and he went, he washed, and he came back, and he regained his sight. But the story is not about this man being able to see again, but rather how he acquired his faith. He was developing a relationship, a faith in the Lord Jesus. And while he was going through this, we find an attack on him and his faith from the Pharisees and the scribes. They interrogated him, investigated with him multiple times, and they told him, this man is a sinner, so we do not want you to think that what happened to you is a miracle. Basically, this person is a deceiver, and you don't have to believe anything about this man. Just tell us or agree with us that he is not a good person. So we find this man is under attack. His face is under attack. This man represents all of us in the age we live in today. To be a believer is something that's not easy. Every day you will hear a message that's negative about faith and about your belief and about how God does not exist. God is not good. The Lord Jesus actually was not as he claimed to be. All of these things that we hear them almost every day after another, our faith is under attack. How did this man defend himself? How he is able at the end to pass this test successfully? So this is what we are going to talk about today. So we'll talk about the saving triad. Three things he resorted to in order for him to be able to spare himself this agony of losing his faith. And talking about other positive examples in the Bible who used one or more of these saving triad, and speak about the absence of one or more. And the last point will be about defending ourselves against deception. So what was the saving triad? What are the three things that this man used to defend himself and defend his faith? The first thing was his knowledge. Even though this man was born blind and he was working as a beggar, but he had some kind of knowledge. Maybe he acquired by people telling him, by asking and developing some kind of information. He said to the Pharisees and the scribes, since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. He has some knowledge about history and what happened before him. This is again saving for us to have information, the right information, right knowledge, reading history and knowing how things started, how things evolved. There is no argument where we can prove to the people that our faith is genuine and true unless we know how things started from the beginning and we trace the truth till the time we live in. So the first principle to save our faith is to acquire the right knowledge. And again, as you can all know and see, most of the things that we see on social media are just man-made. People invent things as if like they are telling the truth for the first time. The second principle he used was his reason, this intellectual ability that God granted to all of us. He said, debating with the Pharisees, now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. There is reason here. This man cannot be a sinner as you claim, because now he did a miracle unheard of. So this reason that God granted, that sometimes we surrender it to people who are speaking to us something that's unreasonable, irrational. What exactly can I say to convince any of you that this church built itself from scratch? No one here came nearby. It just developed and evolved over billions and billions and billions of years. Everything here you see was not made by a human being. What kind of reason is this? But sadly, this is the reasons that people use to tell us that we were like evolved. We came from nothing. Our mind came from matter and we evolved from rocks. sadly, and I'm not talking about evolution today, but I'm talking about how the reason that's flawed and people adopt it and they cancel their own reason in order to embrace such teaching. The third principle in the saving triad was his own experience, what he tested himself. He said, "One thing I knew, that though I was blind, now I see. What can you actually tell me about this? Can you make me to doubt what I myself experienced? Can I convince any of you that this kind of fruit that's called banana does not exist? And I will try to use all of the whatever information I have to tell you that, by the way, there is nothing called banana. This is something that's imaginary. You will all maybe hear, but at the end you will never believe, because all of you, you tasted this fruit. So what exactly am I talking about?" These three things are the saving triad today. In order for us to be able to keep our faith, we have always to keep these three: knowledge, the right knowledge, the good reason, and our own experience. The second point is about other positive examples. We can trace this throughout the whole Bible, and we can find this saving triad working over and over and over with every individual. For example, the Samaritan woman, we find that she has a knowledge about the Messiah. She was interested to know about this coming Savior. She told the Lord Jesus, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." She had this interest to know. This is today, again, something very sad to see. People lost their interest to know. They don't care. At the end of the day, I care about maybe my wealth and my health and my well-being and my children's well-being, and that's it. What is about the truth? It's something that comes secondary, maybe tertiary. Not only she had good knowledge, but also when she went preaching, witnessing about Christ, she told the people of her hometown, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" She has experience now. "I tested this person. I know him now. And he told me everything about my past. And then the reason, maybe this is the Messiah that when he comes will tell us everything." Another example also is with the two disciples of Emmaus. Those people traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus, going back, losing their faith and feeling like all what they believed in was fake. The man that they thought he would be the Savior was just like they witnessed him being crucified and dying. Look here how the Lord Christ helped them to regain their faith. The same principles. First, he expanded their knowledge. "Let me explain to you the scripture in the right way." And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them in all scriptures the things concerning himself. This is the cornerstone, the first one, knowledge. When we tell our children, read the Bible, know it right. It's not about just taking a blessing, just touch it and that's it, or kissing and putting it on our heads. It is to know the truth that God revealed to us. And then the Lord Christ appealed to the reason. He told them, "Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" It is sensible to know this way because this is the story of salvation. Humans sinned. They should die. Somebody has to come and pay for their debt. And then they tell us about how they felt, their experience. They told each other and the disciples, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So the same triad, the saving triad, also brought the disciples of Emmaus back to their faith: knowledge, reason, and experience. The third point is what happened in the absence of one or more of these saving triad. For example, when the absence of right knowledge happened, what happened here? The story about the split or the division that happened to Israel. The son of Solomon, the king Rehoboam, he was not a wise person, and he ended up like with a problem with the people that made the kingdom to divide. King Jeroboam, who took the 10 tribes in the north, we find that at the beginning, in order to make sure that people will always follow him, He tells the people a wrong information. He built for them a kind of like a statue for Baal, and he says, therefore the king asked advice and made 2 calves of gold and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. It's a big lie, of course. And maybe at the beginning people like struggled with it. No, this is not the gods that brought out us from Egypt. Just you are building up something. But it's exactly the same with every false prophet. Things start with a lie, and then people, they are not so keen to defend the truth, and the second, the third, the fourth generation, truly, this is true, this is our God. How wrong information can lead into this? People now are worshipping anything and everything. Why? Because again, the right information is missing. What happened in the absence of good reason? When we surrender our reason and we adopt anything that's nonsense, we find the story of Samson. Samson wanted to marry a woman from the Philistines. What is his reason? What is his rationale? What exactly is he saying to himself and his parents about this woman in order to justify his decision? We find Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. This is the only reason you are marrying this woman, just because she pleases you well? What about her faith? What about the background she comes from? What she learned? How she lived? None of these was used by Samson to say, oh yeah, this is something that does not make sense. Sadly, many people make decisions like this. They not only they marry for wrong reason or for no reason, but they live their life, the whole life, based on what pleases me well. That's it. It's the only thing that moves me and I go after it. In the absence of experience, we find the people of Israel in the wilderness. God did many good things with them. He got them out from Egypt with a mighty hand. He split the sea in front of them. He gave them the manna to eat. And then they tell Moses and Aaron, is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? Where is your experience with God? What happened to your slavery in Egypt? Now, Egypt now became a land that flows with milk and honey. We have a story also, the first story, where man lost the three, the knowledge, the reason, and the experience. This is what happened in the Garden of Eden with Eve. The serpent told Eve, you will not surely die. This is a wrong information. God told them they will die. And now she is hearing a lie. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. What kind of reason is this? It's a deception. She has to cancel her mind to believe this, but she did, knowing good and evil. And she forgot entirely about the goodness of God, what he did for her and for her husband Adam. All of these were put aside, and now she's canceling his own experience, abolishing her reason, forgetting the right information that God granted to her and her husband. When she lost the three, then the fall was inevitable. The last point to talk about today is how we defend ourselves and our faith against deception. The first thing is to always strive to acquire the right knowledge, knowing that not everything we hear from the media is true, or we hear from Facebook or our friends. Nothing that's really just because a person said it, or this person, whoever it is, then it is truthful. People sometimes take their information from a bumper sticker and they repeat it as if like it's a verse. It is something as was written, printed, then it is authentic. The Lord Christ said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How many times do we keep on arguing and debating with young people because they believe the lie and they do not want to change their mind and go back into the right source and know what they believed, what they embraced as whatever the lie or the deception they had. The second thing, how we should defend ourselves and our faith, is to always, in our spiritual practice, to know what needs to be done, to understand the practice, and to taste it. This is what makes prayer and worshiping something that's a healer for us, something that encourages and establishes us in our faith. Just to do things together without knowing what does it mean, why we should do it this way, what is the reason behind it, without any kind of experience of the taste of the practice, this will not benefit us much. The third point is to remember the goodness of God and the church who serve our salvation. The beginning of the attack always against our experience is that, the church hurt you in a certain way, did not teach you the right thing. God does not like you. God is whoever. And that's it. We forget all about what God did for us and what the church kept for us in terms of our right faith. The last point is to examine the source of information. When you hear something, ask yourself, where this come from? Is it right? Is something authentic or not? Debate the reason from the biblical perspective. Allow your mind to think and say that this does not really make sense. This is not something that intellectually sound. And recall the experience of yourself and others with God. The man born blind defended himself, and at the end of the debate with the Pharisees, who were many and were very much educated, he was able to still know Christ and worship Him. He is teaching us enlightenment is to always keep this triad in the background. Always be ready to give a defense by having the right knowledge, applying the right reason, and have the good experience with God. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.